Amen, amen. Reading this morning from 1 Timothy at chapter 3, verse 14, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, in other words, if I don't get there for a long time, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Amen. There's a lot of folks been hanging around church for years, still don't know what they ought to be doing in church. Amen. Praise God. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Here it is. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. The gospel in a nutshell. The only thing is, the nut has been cracked. Amen. I went down to Junko Jim's yesterday and sampled a few free samples. They don't have as much as they used to have down there in the way of free samples, but had a pretty fair supper. I'd have did all right if I'd have went back for seconds. Amen. Didn't want to mess things up too bad, you know. Hey, amen. But I bought me some fruit and nuts. $20.81 worth, to be exact. Amen. And that was in the reduced section, Brother Alexander. Amen. But I bought me some English walnuts. Already cracked. Whoo, glory. And Brother Crotcher, I bought me some pecans. Already cracked. Amen. Don't even have to have a nutcracker. All I have to do is open the sack and shell them out one at a time. Amen. But I found me some coconuts. I wanted to go back, you know, as far as I could, and I saw those coconuts, and that was one of the things I remembered about Christmas as a boy. Daddy brought in some coconuts at Christmas time. And Dad took his knife and he found that soft place in that coconut's nose and made a hole in it and showed us that you to drink milk out of that coconut. And the next time he brought in coconuts, I got me a knife and I probed around till I found which one of them nodules on that coconut was soft. And amen, I uncorked all them coconuts that he brought in and drunk the milk out of all of them. Amen. And I ruined a whole bunch of coconuts. But them coconuts down there at Jungle Jim's, some of them was cracked. And I looked at those in that reduced section. I got them up and shook them. And most of them had two in the bag. One had three in the bag. And so I got them up and shook them. And I could hear. But I couldn't tell the difference in the one that had the milk still in it and the one that, the other one. I couldn't shake one heart without shaking the other one. But I got to ones that I was came the nearest to being good ones. They wasn't either one cracked, and they shook like they still had the juice in them. And so, you know, God made the coconut that way because coconuts don't fall off the tree by nature until the wind blows them off, usually. Or unless somebody climbs a tree and picks them on purpose. But by nature, they fall off in a strong wind, and when they do, they fall off to the ground, right on the edge of the water, usually. And that's salt water, And so that coconut has an airtight shell around it, a watertight shell around it. Amen. That when the tide comes up, that even though it falls into the water, it can float for hundreds of miles in the South Pacific or in the South Atlantic. Amen. Until it comes up on an island in salt water. Amen. And there on the beach in salt water, if that coconut sprouted and tried to grow, the salt water would kill it. Amen. And so God put enough good, sweet water in it that when it sprouts on the beach where there's nothing but salt water, it's got a cup full of good nutrients to start it out, and it'll gain root till it can get a strong enough root to grow, even though it's got salt water waves dashing against it at high tide. And so God equipped it with enough water to sprout and to grow and to begin a tree for another crop. Amen. And you never know what's inside the coconut till you crack it. It's a mystery what's inside of it. So Brother Berg, you took me down the market street of Luog City in the Philippines, and there on the street they were selling those coconuts, and they were still in their whole big shell. But you could buy a coconut for about a nickel in American money. And that girl would take one of those bolo knives, and she would chop that outer shell off that coconut for you and peel it for you and give it to you already peeled. Amen. And so while she was chopping it, those young coconuts, the shell, those young coconuts are not very strong. In fact, they're still green and tender on young coconut. And they fix a real good dish out of young coconut, and they mix some other things with its own milk and pour in it, and it's very delightful, very good. Amen. As they fix those young coconuts in the Philippines. Amen. And in the process of peeling that coconut, somebody come and get her. She's lost. Amen. You can come and get her. Praise God. In the process of peeling that young coconut, that girl cut that real coconut. And when she cut it with that bolo knife, she said, oh, and laid it aside and got another one out. She lost that. She'll have to take that one home and eat it. And so she got another one out and peeled it for us. Mind you, we bought the coconut for a nickel. Amen. But in process of peeling it for us, she injured it till it wasn't fit for sale. And so she fixed us another. She lost money on that deal, but then she'll have young coconut at the house as long as she keeps it right side up. She can even drink the water out of it and use it to make that young coconut dish that they fix in various ways in the Philippines. I said all that to say this. You never know what's inside the coconut till you crack it. But after you crack it and puncture it and get on the inside of it, you can tell if it's lost its juice or not. You can tell. Usually if it loses its juice, the meat on the inside, after any length of time, it'll sour and it won't be any good. Amen. So it's got to be uncracked before it'll be fit for human consumption. And how many ever cracked one and found that it already soured? Amen. God don't want us to hear the gospel unravel before us and us not receive it. You know the reason a lot of people's religion has soured? They never received it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Here we're going to crack the mystery. Amen. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Some versions read the mystery of the Godhead. I don't necessarily know why they do that unless, amen, it's because there's a lot said here about the truth of the Godhead in this one verse. Amen. But in the Greek, it is godliness. Amen. The same word that is used throughout the Bible, which denotes godlike character and sometimes is interpreted as holiness. Praise God. How do we attain this mystery? How do we crack the nut? How do we achieve this glorious feat of a holiness? He said, great is the mystery of godliness, our holiness. Praise God. Well, we're going to need a lot of help. And folks, that's what Christmas is all about. Glory to God that you and I, according to Zechariah, might live out our days in godliness and righteousness and holiness all the days of our life. Amen. Serving Him without fear. Aren't you glad? Praise God. The mystery has been unveiled. The sweet juices of the gospel have been poured out unto us. And even though we were lodged on an infertile bank of sand, praise God, God helped us right in the wilderness to have enough good gospel truth to get a root and bring forth a harvest in a wicked and unfriendly world. Raise your hand and thank Him this morning. Praise God. Great is the mystery of godliness. Some folks think we can't even have it. Some folks think we can't even get it. Some folks think it's an impossibility. But I want to tell you, amen, because the nut has been cracked, hallelujah, we can have it. Amen. We can get it. We can live it. Glory to God. And God will proclaim us godly and say, well done, in the judgment in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. The Godhead is a many-faceted diamond, a many-faceted jewel. You turn it and it glistens with light. And every facet in turn reflects more light and more beauty. Praise God. Amen. You don't want to get hung up on one facet of the Godhead in preference to another. Take the whole diamond. Amen. And turn it. And let its fire warm your life. Let its beauty fill your life. Praise God. God was manifest in the flesh. How many know who that was? How many know what that was? How many know when that happened? Amen. In a manger long ago. I know the story so. A child was born to save men from their sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why did this baby cause so much trouble in the world? Why did God, being manifest in the flesh, cause so much trouble in the world? Because the devil didn't like it, and the devil's crowd didn't like it, because when He came, it would enable us to come out of our sins and go to heaven. Amen. Why did that bloodthirsty fiend, amen, that crazy king called Herod, murder all those babies in Bethlehem? Was it because it would have been better that God had never been manifest in the flesh? Was it because it had been better that He never came? Amen. Rachel would not be weeping for her children according to Jeremiah, because they were not. Amen. My God, the glory of Bethlehem was shrouded in black wreaths. Amen. Privileged to become the host to God, manifest in the flesh. Nazareth, amen, a city of no reputation, was to become the hometown of Jesus, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. Capernaum would be the headquarters of his ministry after he was 30 years old on this earth for 3.5 years. Amen. What was wrong with Capernaum that would wind her up in hell? What was wrong with Nazareth that they led him to the brow of the hill and wanted to throw him over when he preached his first message? Amen. It was God manifest in the flesh, and they were not prepared for God to come. And it would be an upsetting thing in Hamilton and in Cincinnati and in Dayton and Ohio if Jesus would come today. Most churches and now most preachers, I venture, are not prepared for his second coming neither. Some of them, because they're not ready, they've quit emphasizing it. They've quit telling about it. Amen. They've quit remembering it. Amen. They don't want to know about it. The average John Doe Christian in many of our Pentecostal, yea, holiness churches would turn pale if they knew that Jesus was coming in 10 minutes. Amen. It'd be a white knuckle morning as they grabbed a hold of the seat and hung on a trembling hand if they thought Jesus was coming this morning. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. We know who that was. That was Jesus. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. You read it here, didn't you? Amen. I mean, we don't need any commentator to explain that to us, do we? Do we need a theologian to unravel it for us? Amen. We needed more than a prophet. We needed God. Amen. We needed more than a religious progenitor like Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. We needed God. Amen. We needed more than fathers and mothers that were good and righteous and Bible people. We needed a God. Amen. And God came down. This is the mystery. Amen. This is the recipe, if you will. The secret recipe for godliness, for holiness, for righteous living. Amen. We got some help. What is it? God was manifest in the flesh. He came down and became one of us, Roscoe Burns. Amen. He came down and became one of us, Arley Witt. He walked among us and became one of us. God did. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Justified in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. His anointing proved his deity. His anointing proved his righteousness. His anointing proved his destiny. Amen. What did he do? Praise God. Irrefutable miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. He raised many dead. Not just a few, many. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He walked the water. Praise God. He proved his sinlessness. His utter sinlessness by the miracles that he wrought. God did. Amen. He was justified in the Spirit. Amen. When he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Ghost came upon him like a dove, remember? God had told John the Baptist, him you see the Holy Ghost descending upon like a dove, that's him. Amen. And he was justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Glory to God. Amen. Angels attended him. Angels, Gabriel and Michael and others verified his ministry. Announced his coming. Amen. Attended him while he was here. Amen. Comforted him in Gethsemane. Glory to God. Stood on either side of his tomb to announce that he's not here. Hallelujah. He has been seen and verified by angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Aren't you glad when we needed help so bad that he didn't leave us out? Aren't you glad when we needed a Savior so bad, he didn't leave us out? He cracked the mystery. He pulled off the outer shell. He revealed the purity and the utter goodness of the inside. Preached unto the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That you and I are for the most part. Amen. They may be a Jew or two here. I don't know. I haven't checked into your pedigree. Amen. But even if you don't have one, it don't matter. Praise God. He's being preached to you this morning. And you have the same help that the Jews did while he was here. You have the same chance that they had while he was here. You have the same glorious privilege that they had while he was here. Because he's been preached unto Gentiles. How beautiful are on the mountains are the feet of them that publish these glad tidings. Amen. Glory to God. The most important people in the world today is not the president, not the governor. Amen. Not the senator, not the kings, and not the queens. It's the gospel preacher. Who, how shall he hear without a preacher? God sent his son into the world to save sinners, and he became a preacher. Amen. Those that would save the lost, amen, his witnesses, many of them are preachers of the gospel. I don't mean that just preachers can witness. I said many of them are preachers. Hallelujah. Many of them are instructed to leave all and follow him. Many of them go out and give up their whole life and their future and fortunes and, amen, take this road to carry the message to the ends of the earth. Preach a message to the Gentile. Where would we have been if someone hadn't brought it to us? Where would we have been if someone hadn't preached the saving message to us? Praise God. Preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we prayed for? Amen. Thy kingdom come. My prayer as I enlarge upon that is to spread its bounds to the ends of the earth by the means of the gospel. Hallelujah. Blindness is part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. He was believed on in the world and received up into glory. Praise God. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'd like to tell you this morning, if you would live for God, you got help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the help. We thank you, Lord, for the touch of God. Lord God, that thou hast made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we say with Paul, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which behind in the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I pray that Jesus will make Himself real to every life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Amen. Help is already on the way if you would live for God. Help is already available if you'd serve Him. Righteousness and holiness and godliness all the days of your life. He'll help you. He's received up into glory. Why? Stands at the right hand of God to make intercession for you. Amen. Glory to God. As they sang, we invite you to come to the altar and call on God. Come on.
Joe.